I want to pray for you today, my friend. Because somebody right now needs to go back again. Perhaps you need to go back again and re-examine your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I did that many, many years ago. I grew up in a fine Christian home, made a decision for Christ at a young age, but with a beautiful wife that God had given to me in my young adulthood, in the midst of academic pursuit, a searching mind, and many a ball game, I had to go back again. I had to go back. I had to ask the question, Lord, am I saved? Do I know you? Make certain today, my friend, give your heart to Jesus today. Settle that issue today. Maybe you need to go back again to that place where you first made that commitment. It's like marriage in some ways, isn't it? Those of us who've been married for many years, we become accustomed to one another and perhaps take some things for granted. And little habits begin to creep in. It's such a good thing to go back again.
We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson. The Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring Dr. Don's messages. In today's message, Bow or Burn, we continue from yesterday. We're studying the book of Daniel together. And yesterday, one of the things I loved, underlined, circled, was how the fruits are about the people living for God. What kind of fruit are you? What kind of fruit are we bearing? That's what God calls us to kind of represent who we are. Today, we're going to talk about the ways that we can examine the fruit we're bearing and even bear more of it for Jesus' sake. As we do so, know that we're available for you. Love to pray with you and for you. Connect you with great resources. We can do that online at tewonline.org or at 866-899-WORD. We would love to connect with you. Now, Dr. Wilson.
Now listen to Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Steve, we sing a song. This is the day, I can't sing it with my voice like this, but this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We're going to sing that, young people, on our trip. You don't need to miss it. This is the day. I'll even sing it backwards if you want me to, if you'll come. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I can't, you folks are so good the way you all want to sing with me. All right. Stick to preaching, eh? I believe that that song is quite right because most of us are singing about today. This is the day the Lord has made. But can I just tell you something? I don't think that God's word was talking about this day. I think God is talking about the day. What day? The day that the stone becomes the cornerstone or the capstone of all mankind. Now, which day is that? Yes, that is every day, isn't it? When I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am, through Christ, putting into the building of my life the capstone. So this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But the day of the Lord is the day that God is speaking about that is going to come in the consummation of the world when the whole world is going to come crumbling down, When the statue of man that has been built according to the standards of man is going to be brought quite literally to its knees. And God is going to establish His kingly rule and reign forever and forever. Well, let's read about it. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Now, I want to show you something here. Jesus constantly had a tussle with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These were theologians and professors of theology. They thought that they knew more about Jesus than he knew about himself. And here in Matthew 21 and verse 42 was one of the replies that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, the cornerstone, and the Lord has done this." Now hold on. What did it say in Daniel? Not by human hands. Do you remember that? The Lord has done this. What is the result? It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, on the basis of this, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce its fruit. Now, what is the fruit of the kingdom of God? The fruit of the kingdom of God is men and women living according to the standards of God. Jesus Christ is saying, oh, the world may build empires. We may have a gold empire under King Nebuchadnezzar, a silver empire under the Medo-Persians, a bronze empire under the Greeks, an iron empire that rules the world under the Romans. But I'm going to tell you something. It's guaranteed. I am the cornerstone, and I am built not by human hands. And I'm going to take away this world built by human hands, and I'm going to smash it, and it's going to come tumbling down, and it's going to crumble, and I'm going to build a kingdom of a mountain that is going to last forever and forever and forever and forever. He says in verse 44, he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. I think we're going to start seeing some pieces coming together. Number one, I want you to note in chapter 2 and verses 27 and 28 what the Bible says. The Bible says that the entire message behind the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar points to the future of the world. How do we know this? Because the Bible says so. Look at it. Verse 27, Daniel replied. Let's go back to verse 26, can we, just in case you weren't here last week. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Here it is. "He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come." Now, I want you to go to chapter 2 and verse 44 and verse 45 we should be looking at. "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven." What time? We're looking way into the future. We're looking into an arena that you and I cannot see. I believe that we are part and parcel of that arena. I believe that the greatest challenge that we have today is being able to recognize things that are going on in our world that are partnered together with what God has designed for the ages. Some people have said, why does God use something like a dream to reveal himself? Well, you go into scripture, you're going to find that God has done that oftentimes. Remember Balaam's donkey? You want to read about Balaam's donkey, go back to Numbers chapter 22 and verse 21 and following. Go and read it for yourself. I don't have time tonight. Did any of you know that a donkey actually talks in the Old Testament? Boy, that's an unusual way for God to reveal himself, don't you think? Or what about the ravens? God used ravens to carry meat to Elijah. That was unusual. Or what about the rooster that rebuked Peter? Now hold on a minute, folks. Are you telling me that God made a cock crow in order to get a message to Peter? Yes, that's what the Bible says. God has spoken many times in unusual ways. What about Saul on the road to Damascus being confronted by a bright light? It was unusual. You don't see a lot of that. What about Moses and the burning bush? God appeared to him in a burning bush and said to him, Moses, take off your shoes from upon your feet, for the place whereupon you walk is holy ground. So, I want to ask this question tonight. What is it about this age that is yet to come? What are some of the keys that we need to look for? Well, three things if we look from verse 41 and following. The first clue we've got to look for is iron. I-R-O-N.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with today's message, Bow or Burn, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But as we hear Dr. Don speak, and perhaps the challenge of the Holy Spirit in our lives of what is it, don't be the one who mixes clay with iron. Maybe there are situations and circumstances that God by His Spirit is bringing to light that we need to change. If you'd like to have someone pray with you or for you, I assure you there's no reason to give details to our team, but I'm one of those that loves to take the call and just say, wait, let's don't talk too much about it, but let me know specifically how I can pray for you so that we can pray together, pointing all our attention and our heart and asking God to pour His Spirit into that situation and circumstance. If you'd like to call us, we're here at 866-899-WORD. Not just now, but 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. It would be our joy to pray with you and for you. And in many cases, we have wonderful resources we can put in your hand that will help you continue to grow in your faith. You can see those resources online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's message, Bow or Burn, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now this is not iron in terms of the Roman Empire, because we're down to the toenails now. We've gone beyond. We're right down at the bottom of the statue. Folks, some people have said to me, Pastor, do you think that the end of the age is near? And I've said always, nobody knows that. But I will tell you that we've gone way beyond the head. We're all the way down to the toes. Are you listening, folks? Historical fact tells us the head has come and gone. The shoulders have come and gone. The thighs have come and gone. The legs have come and gone. The knees have come and gone. We're down to the toes. That's historical fact. Now, what about the toes? According to scripture here in Daniel's prophecy, the toes are a mixture of iron and clay. So let's look at it. First of all, what about iron? I believe that iron refers to the strength of a nation. That's what iron is. So, let's ask ourselves a question today. What are some of the strengths of our nation, of a nation, of nations in the world? I think more people today have got more to eat than they have at any other time. There's still a lot of people going hungry. I'm not suggesting that there's not famine in the world. But generally speaking, the strength of the world today is in the surplus of food. And by the way, if you've ever doubted that, we Americans waste unbelievable amounts of food. Unbelievable. There is enough food to feed the world. But economics dictates that we throw it away rather than use it. Second, education is a strength. That's iron. More and more people are educated. I tell young people all the time, don't be satisfied with just a bachelor's degree anymore. You know that 20 and 30 years ago, you could graduate from high school and you were very highly qualified. Nowadays, you graduate from high school and you're not as highly qualified as you once were, unless you land up in your father's business, or unless you inherit something. Nowadays, it's probably advisable to go on beyond a four-year bachelor's degree, isn't it? Nowadays, it's becoming almost mandatory to have a master's degree, if not a PhD or some higher education degree. Education is made available all over the world. It's a strength. It's iron. Families. The emphasis on families today. We're looking for cues now and clues. Families. All over the world, there's an emphasis on families. That's a strength in the world today. What about earning capacity? Per capita around the world, there are people earning more money than they have before. That's not to say that there are not hundreds upon thousands, if not millions of people from Croatia to China who don't have earning capacity. We understand that. We have to put this into its right context, but as a general rule in the world today, the earning capacity is far greater. Social good, there's unbelievable social good, people trying to do things for one another all over the world, even in impoverished nations. You can go to places like Bangalore, India, and you're going to find the remnants of people like Teresa, Mother Teresa. You're going to find goodness all over the world. It's a strength. Justice. Oh, there's injustice everywhere. We know that. But there is an effort, at least a masquerade effort around the world to serve justice, to make sure that people are treated fairly. What about morality? Today, the moral virtue of the world in general, even though this will shock a lot of people, historically speaking, is on a very much higher level, generally speaking, than it has been, for example, through the Dark Ages, where drunkenness and debauchery and everything else was the order of the day. Go and read about it. Go and read about the Victorian Age in Great Britain. Folks, if you recoil in horror at the behavior of the royal family of Great Britain, the immorality of the princes and princesses from Monaco on down the road, you ain't read nothing until you go and read about the Henrys and the Georges and all these boys. I mean, they had a time. I mean, you talk about immorality and adultery of the highest order. Shakespeare tried to write about it in the 17th century, but unfortunately got stuck in an endeavor to mete out Tylenol to hundreds of poor English students. And so the message of the immoral age of Shakespeare somewhat got distorted, but it's there. We live in a far more moral age, generally speaking, than ever before. Oh, we can talk about the strength of the age. There's iron and clay mixed together. Clay talks about the weakness of the nation, of a people, of a kingdom. These two are coexisting side by side. Well, let's talk about food. We spoke about food as being a strength of the nation. I'm not a nutritionist, and it doesn't take very long for the rest of you to agree with that. And it's not actually a major part of my life, but it should be. But I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that our food today is poisoned and polluted. There are more chemicals being introduced into our food than ever before. Cows and sheep are being obliterated and infiltrated with every kind of antibiotic and every other kind of toxin that you could ever imagine. Foods are being sprayed left and right. That's why you can go and buy stuff in the grocery store now, and you can have it at home for 3 weeks without it growing any green stuff on it. The sad part about having bread at home and not seeing any green stuff for 3 weeks is because it's got so many preservatives on it that the green stuff's got no chance to even appear. In fact, if you want to get some really good food, get it, and if it gets green stuff within a day, you know that you bought some healthy food. I just thought I would drop that in there for some thought. Education. Oh, we are an educated people. But folks, I'm going to say to you that whilst we're grateful for the incredible men and women who have a passion and a compassion to teach our people, even in the United States of America, the standard of education is dropping at a free fall rate. The standards are becoming lower and lower and lower and lower. It is almost unheard of for any student to actually fail anymore. And if a teacher actually fails a student, they're going to face the possibility of everything from a lawsuit to who knows what. Because everything, including the kitchen sink, will be thrown at them. Education, yes, it is a strength. But we're living in such a compromise where there is such a mixture of iron and clay. We tell students that they've got to work hard, but on the other hand, if they don't, we're going to do whatever we can to help them get through no matter what. Whether we've got to lower the standards, whether we've got to affect everybody else around, whether we've got to give repeated retestings, whether we've got to provide all the answers for all the students before they take the test, whether we've got to reduce essay writing down to these infernal one-word answers that never stretch the imagination, whether we remove our students from the validity of writing essays in longhand and memorizing and studying so that they really come to grips with facts rather than fiction. Oh yeah, we can talk about our education system. It's good. But I'm going to tell you that iron is being mixed with clay. And folks, there's nothing that we can do about it.
Indeed that is. And I pray you have trusted Jesus, that you know Him as your Lord and your Savior. But if you've got questions about what it really means to know Him, my own personal testimony is that I spent many, many years inside the church knowing about Jesus, but I didn't know Him personally. And I realized that at that point in my life, if I'd have met Jesus, if I'd have lost my life, I would have not made it to heaven because I had just a head knowledge. I pray that you know what it is to belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I live in this sense of confidence that is such a blessing. If you'd like to talk with someone about it, give us a call. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673, or you can meet us online as well if that's your preference. TEWonline.org is our website. That's TEWonline.org. Or perhaps we need to go back to the beginning. The most important questions you could be asked. That's what's coming up next from Dr. Don.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Oh, the Lord has stirred your heart. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. Let us put some resources in your hands if you've given your heart to Christ. Dr. Don has a wonderful packet of information He's prepared just for you. Call and ask us for it. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. It's a joy that every day, not just once or twice a week, but every single day, at least one person gives their hearts to Christ through the ministry of Dr. Don Wilton and the Encouraging Word. And you know, we do this as a part of a community of folks that help us both prayerfully and financially. We call them encouragers.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
The number Dr. Wilton's referring to is 866-899-WORD. We'd be thrilled to send some information to you. Dr. Don calls them brochures. I call them brochures, but it's a wonderful kind of threefold bit of information that tells you about not only who we are, but how we've been connected since the beginning of our ministry with Dr. Billy Graham and organizations Dr. Billy Graham created about accountability and how important that is in ministry. All those details are not only in that brochure, but also on our website at tewonline.org. And as you discover how you might could encourage us, I pray you would not miss out on the opportunity for us to do what we're called to do, and that's encourage you. If you need someone to pray, we're here. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day, happy to pray with you. Or you can do it keyboard to keyboard online as well at tewonline.org. Again, that's tewonline.org or 866-899-9673. Till next time, take care and God bless.